This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Go to Qur'ani.app, inshallah.
The app tracks verses, pages, and time spent reading, and the verses to pages function takes you from reading a few verses a day to a few pages a day. This project is for the real enthusiasts. If there's enough of us out there, this will become the future of Quran apps.
And support the project if you can, inshallah. May Allah bless all of you. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you guys doing? I've recently stumbled across a video which is entitled, "Why is there something rather than nothing?" This question, of course, is one of the most pervasive ones, and one of the most deep ones, and one of the most ultimate ones, to use a Karl Popperian term, that plagues the human species. So I want to listen to what this person has to say and see, I think he's coming from an atheist background, of course, how we can comment on some of his conclusions.
All right, so there's a kid out with his dad one day in the forest, and the kid says, "Why are the leaves green?" And his dad, who's a botanist or a tree surgeon or something, says, "Well, because of chlorophyll. Chlorophyll is green, and leaves have chlorophyll in them." And the kid says, "Aha." And they walk a little more, and the kid says, "But why is chlorophyll green?" And the father says, "Well, light bounces off things differently sometimes, and if chlorophyll is a certain density, blah, 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 or something, so it's green." And the kid says, "Okay." And they walk a bit more, and the kid says, "But why does light work like that, then?" And the dad says, "Jesus Christ, because that's how physics works." And the kid says, "But why does physics work like that?" And the dad says, "Because that's how the universe was set up 13 billion years ago, when time and space began. All right, Aristotle, leave it alone already. Here, have a sandwich, shut up." And the kid eats his sandwich, and he looks about a bit, and they walk a bit more, and the sun's going down, and they're heading back to the car, and the kid says, "Then why did time and space begin?" And that is a pretty good question. Everything has a beginning, however weird or wonderful. There weren't always planets or stars or galaxies. Everything had to come from something, didn't it? Well, sure it did. 13 billion years ago, we're told, the universe just appeared, and it was very simple. Just atoms, and then molecules, and chemistry, and stars, and then planets, and then ecosystems, and then curious suns and irritated fathers quite a bit later. But how did it all start? There's two answers here, aren't there? See, everything either came out of nothing, for no reason at all, or everything has always been around, well, forever. And both options are absolutely mental, and one of them has to be true.
That's a false dichotomy. It's not the case that either everything came from nothing or that everything was just there. There is, of course, another option which you have quietly and cheekily circumnavigated, haven't you? Which is that for every dependent thing composed of parts, there is a composer. Putting it another way, everything made of pieces. Everything made of pieces is dependent. The universe is made of pieces, and therefore the universe is dependent. And of course, if it's dependent, it can either be dependent on something which is dependent or dependent on something which is independent. If it's dependent on something which is independent, then the job has been done. In fact, we have been able to establish the existence of an independent entity through which all other entities depend on. And if it's dependent on something which is dependent, then you have a series of dependent things. And such a series will be made up of its constituent parts. And everything made up of constituent parts is composed. And a series of such multiverses, if you want to put it in that language, would be made up of parts, and therefore such a series would be composed. So it's incontrovertible, actually. It's inescapable, my friend. Instead of postulating something which is actually nonsensical, which is that the universe came from nothing, something which even the ancients didn't dare utter from their mouths, in the ancient period, in the Hellenistic period, and up until the Enlightenment period, you have postulated it. You can't prove that on a priori or a posteriori grounds. You can't prove that cosmologically at all. In fact, it's impossible mathematically. So why even mention it as an option? Well, in fact, the Quran, the book that you should read, I would say, once you've finished eating the pot noodle dinner that you have, maybe after a session in the cellar, or you know, watching some illicit stuff or whatever it is that you know, atheists do, to quite frankly, or people that don't believe in God, you know, or quite frankly, people that do believe in God as well. You know, after you've done what you need to do in your maybe understanding, then start contemplating this question properly. Why is there something rather than nothing? It's not that, oh, it could be from nothing, and that's actually a possibility. That's an impossibility. And if you're saying that, well, the universe was always here, even that postulation itself doesn't solve the problem. Because was it here inexplicably? Did it give preponderance to itself? Indeed, one could say that even if that were the case and it was here inexplicably, what was it dependent on? Once again, the question that will plague you. Was it dependent or independent? Think about it. And if it was dependent, was it dependent on something that was dependent, or was it dependent on something that was independent? If it was independent, if it's dependent on something that's independent, the job is done. Then there's something that's independent. If it's dependent on something which is dependent, then we make the same argument as we have before. So your dichotomy, your false dichotomy, may work on your chums and friends, but it will not work on me.
Other answers that will not win the cash prize include, one, God did it.
It won't win the cash prize, but I tell you what won't win the cash prize, okay, is your explanation that nothing, which is defined as the absence of something, can in any way, shape or form, even conceivably, I'm not saying that you've said that it can, but it conceivably bring about something. You think that's going to win the cash prize? So you can go get yourself another pot noodle, and eat that pot noodle?
What did God? Two, I don't care. Yes, you do. The stuff we made of is 13 billion years old too. You should give a damn. Or three, maybe we're just too stupid to work it out, which is what everyone says shortly before someone works something out. So everything came from nothing, or everything has always been around. Well, which one makes more sense? Okay then, let's say everything came from nothing. So there's nothing, and for no reason at all, the universe just, well, appeared. Well, weird stuff happens in the world all the time.
Nothing itself or non-existence can only be understood in reference to existence. If I were to ask you a question and say to you, imagine non-existence. What is this nothing you talk about? Just imagine it. What are you going to imagine? What, an empty space? For you to imagine an empty space, then you will have to make reference to the idea of space. Thus, I may say, nothing or non-existence is unintelligible without reference to something, just as zero is unintelligible, the number zero, is unintelligible without clear reference to natural numbers and negative numbers. So what is this nothing you speak of?
Apparently no reason. Why can't the universe have just come around like that too? Well, it's different. See, when you get a freak tax rebate or someone crashes into you at a junction, it might seem random, but there is a cause. It's just so complicated that you can't fathom it. One thing follows another, and another, and another, and another, and another, and then whatever happens, happens. So what does that have to do with everything coming from nothing? Well, if there's nothing, there's nothing. Nothing can't cause anything. Everything in the world that happens is because of atoms bumping into other atoms. Well, actually, they never touch, but that's a story for another time. And fields interacting with other fields. Nothing doesn't have atoms or fields. It's nothing. So what then? There's black. And more black, not even black actually, just nothing. And then for no reason at all, there's something.
You see, there you have it, you said it yourself. Not even black anything. You said black, and then you realize, oh, black is something. Not even black anything, nothing. Okay, what is nothing? Once again, you have nothing to reference it with, ironically, you know. Whenever you want to speak of nothing, you have to reference it, or you have to make reference to something in existence. What is this nothing you speak of?
Final reason, just pop. And out comes the universe. But that's mad. Nothing can be without a cause. Well, here are some fun ideas then. Time is drunk. What if time can double back on itself? What if the universe was caused from its own future? There's still a cause, there's still an effect, it's just that the bang came first, and then the cause caused it much later, maybe at the end of time. But that's mental. Nothing could go backwards in time, can it? If you could kill your own grandfather, paradoxes, etc., etc., etc. Maybe. Modern physics might allow for it. The universe might not care about time going backwards as long as everything matches up. If someone leaves a winning lottery ticket on your doorstep and you win the lottery, go back in time and leave it on your own doorstep to do it again, what's wrong with that? As long as you don't change anything, everything is conserved, all the I's are dotted, T's are crossed. No paradoxes, no problem.
He's talking about something called retrocausality. Now, this can be rejected on a priori grounds, meaning that the logical form that this would necessitate a contradiction. For example, take A, B, and C as a linear sequence of some sorts. A causes B, B causes C, and C causes A. C would be effectively caused by A, if this were the case, and so C would be the cause of itself, or A would be the cause by itself. So causes would be their own cause and effects would be their own effect, which is exactly logically impossible. On L1, if you're on the propositional logic, and on S5 or S4, which is modal logic, it's something which is on a priori grounds to be rejected. Now, I want to say something. The fact that you've made this claim in and of itself shows me the extent to which you are running away from the inescapable conclusion. The Quran itself states, أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمْ الْخَالِقُونَ. Were they created from themselves? Were they created from nothing? Or were they themselves creators of themselves? So you're trying your best. You've literally tried to exhaust these options, these two options, which are impossible options, which the Quran states. You've tried your best to exhaust these options only to hit a brick wall. Why don't you start considering the real logical options? You couldn't have been created from nothing. That's ridiculous. And you probably recognize that yourself. And you couldn't create yourself, not only because of causality, but because of dependence. We talked about causality already. Causality is defined as something which brings rise to phenomena. But dependence is different to causality because dependence is something which relies upon something else. Now, it's conceivable that something can cause something, but not that thing does not depend upon it. If I have a son and he has a son, my grandson will be caused by me. Yes, but he doesn't depend on me for continued existence. Now, it would be absurd, even if you wanted to argue for retrocausality of the creation of the universe, it's absurd to estimate that there is a continued reliance of the universe on itself, unless you want to say that the universe is independent. And if you say that, then you've come away from atheism. You've left the pale of atheism, my friend, and then you have become a deist. But I will say to you, arguing reductio, that in fact, that's impossible because the universe is composed of parts. And we said anything composed of parts is dependent, and the universe is composed of parts, therefore the universe is dependent. But what is it dependent on? Is it dependent upon something that's dependent or something that's independent? It would have to be dependent upon something that's independent, because if it's dependent on something that's dependent, then there'll be a series of dependent things. If you want to say ad infinitum, say so, but then that series itself will be composed of parts, and everything composed of parts is dependent, and therefore the multiverse is composed of parts, and therefore the universe is dependent. Therefore, you really have to, and so do the atheist community, step up their game. This is not good enough. Of all due respect, this honestly infuriates me that someone is willing to sacrifice their own logical ability. Yeah, they're able to affront their own, they're able to embarrass their own sense of decency and common sense by making arguments like this. Why don't you just wake up, yeah, and think properly? I want to say to you, honestly, the atheist community, enough is enough. Your day is done. The new atheist vogue, the new atheist wave has now subsided. We must say, think properly. Honestly, think properly. Enough is enough. It's not that you were created from nothing, as I've said. And it's not that you yourself were the creators of yourself. It's not that the universe was created from nothing. It's not that the universe itself was the creator of itself. These two things are impossibilities. Think about the other option. And I know what you know. And I know that you know what the other option is. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.